Captain Solis met Esme at the docking hatch for Shrike.
We need to talk. So far, no one aboard knows about this, and I would prefer to keep it as quiet as possible.
Esme hadn't done anything at all but follow orders and take the data where she'd been told.
Sir.
Near as I can tell, and I should be able to tell, or what am I doing with my rank, your outburst back at Copper Mountain was just that, an outburst. You've done a good job for me. You're an effective leader. You fit your history, is what I'm saying. But acts have consequences, including mistakes, however rare.
Esme thought about saying something, but decided there was no point.
Lord Thornbuckle needs a villain. And since he can't get his hands on the real villains, he's picked you. He refuses to have you involved in planning the rescue. He doesn't even want you on the base. There's a very limited amount that we can do, given his position and his state of mind. However, I consider your knowledge of Sarah Meager and the investigation of the Elias Madero hijacking site to be important resources. I've gone on record as saying so, and had my tail chewed by Admiral Hornan.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to stay out of everyone's way. I won't say I'm restricting you to Shrike, because that would be unfair. But until I can get you some kind of assignment that uses your talents, I strongly recommend that you consider spending most of your time there, and make sure you don't run afoul of Lord Thornbuckle or Admiral Hornan. The latter won't be easy. He's taking his position as Sector Commandant very seriously, and he would like to lead the task force when it acts. Since the Serranos are in Thornbuckle's bad graces, he may well get that assignment.
Yes, sir.
Why were the Serranos in trouble? That made no sense to Esme, but clearly she should stay away from Baron until she got that figured out. The last thing she wanted was to get a Serrano in worse trouble.
And if you do mingle, watch what you say. Because someone else will be.
Yes, sir.
I'll do my best to keep you informed of the progress of the investigation and planning. Now, get in there and keep my ship the way it should be.
Yes, sir.
Esme saluted and went aboard, very little cheered by the knowledge that her captain no longer thought of her as a monster. Clearly, enough other people did. In the next few days, Baron did his best to search the station, but he did not see Esme in any of the places where off-duty officers congregated. Her name was never down for a machine or swim lane at the gym. He could find no log-on records at the library. She had no assigned quarters. Wondering if she could still be living aboard Shrike, he called up the ship's entry and found her listed as the XO. At least that was right. But no personal comm code number. He didn't want to call the ship's general number and have her paged. In the present climate, that might get them both in more trouble. The next briefing began with a presentation by one of the Guarnesi.
Let me give you a little necessary background on the group that calls itself the New Texas God-Fearing Militia, or the New Tex Militia for short. Our historians have done extensive research on the fringe religions that formed colonies in the early days of expansion from Old Earth, because we've had unpleasant contact with many of them. This one claims to descend from founders in Texas, one of the United States, which was in North America, for those of you with an interest in Old Earth geography.
I don't see the relevance. We can learn the history later.
I believe you will, sir. Their present beliefs are relevant to your daughter's situation and to any hope of intervention on her behalf. Their present beliefs grow out of their mythologized view of Texas history. Now, Texas had at one time been, very briefly, an independent nation. As with other nations swallowed up by larger political units, a portion of its population clung to that memory and caused trouble. In the late 20th, their reckoning, one of many militias and terrorist religious groups active in the United States was something called the New Texas God-Fearing Militia. This particular branch believed that the decay of society which led to acceptance of tyranny was due to the influence of women, and that women had been allowed beyond the bounds set by God in Holy Scripture. Historians have found many texts advocating the return of women to traditional roles, defined very narrowly. It is this branch of the original which made it to space, under a colonization contract which they promptly disavowed. They organized their own colonial government, based on a military unit known as the Texas Rangers found in the original state. Apparently, a mythology had arisen surrounding these Texas Rangers, so they denoted their elected officials Rangers and appended the names of historical figures from the brief period of Texas nationality. That's important, because we have learned to track splits in the original group by their choice of names for their Rangers. For instance, there's a branch that denominates their leaders Rangers McCullough, Davis, King, Austin, and Crockett. Another uses Crockett, Bowie, Houston, Travis, and Lamar. However, they all have in common a council of five Rangers, headed by a captain. We've included a listing for each of the six known branches. Because this group formed by splintering and considers individual liberty of utmost importance, individual liberty of males, that is, they are constantly breaking up and reforming alliances among themselves.
Do they exchange prisoners?
Almost never. We've retrieved a few men from them by hefty threats, but never women. There's a double problem with their attitude towards women. They believe that allowing women in space, for instance, is a form of neglect, that men are bound by faith to protect women. So if they capture women, they consider that they are actually saving them from a worse fate.
But they mutilated and killed these women.
That's the other problem. Their religious beliefs are, as with most such groups, extremely rigid on anything having to do with sex or reproduction. They believe women were created by God to serve men and bear children, and that they must be guided, if children, or forced, if adults, into the role divinely intended for them. They also believe that only male-female sexual activity is permissible. Anything else is what they call abomination. So also is contraception and genetic engineering. So if they capture women who have contraceptive implants, evidence of genetic engineering, or who are, by virtue of their rank or behavior, usurping the authority of men, they usually kill them.
Brune's a registered embryo. She's got the mark. What would they think of that?
Abomination, certainly. Interfering with God's plan for humans. And I assume, like most unmarried young women, she also had a contraceptive implant?
Of course. And beyond that, REs require a positive fertility induction.
It's surprising they didn't kill her. They must have considered her political importance worth taking the chance that God would punish them for allowing her to live. In their own minds, they were reclaiming her for God's purposes and sending a message to you and the rest of the Familius.
How do you know so much?
Well, we share a border with two of the five systems they control, and they've come after our people repeatedly. Their beliefs name us as one of the abominations. In order to protect our people, we've had to find out more about them. In fact, I'm afraid we may be indirectly responsible for this incursion into Familius space.
What?
They had attacked one of our passenger ships, the third time in only a few months. It got away, but we felt they were becoming too bold. So we retaliated, went in and blew some of their fixed defense platforms, and told them God was punishing them for their errors. They know most of our people are what they call spiritual, though of course not the same faith. Anyway, my guess is that they reacted to this by looking for some way to regain their prestige. They wanted to stay away from us, so they went after you. And I should warn you, they probably have agents somewhere in your commercial networks, because every time we've caught them trying to hijack a big cargo ship, it's had illegal arms shipments on it.
There was nothing like that on the Elias Madero manifest.
No, there wouldn't be. Their mode of operation in our space was to blackmail a shipping agent, get access to a hold, sometimes only one, sometimes several, then they'd have it filled with anything they could buy on the gray market. A lot of it came from the Familius, you know. You people have a thriving arms industry.
We're not alone in that.
No, but of the material we've confiscated when we've caught them, around 73% comes from Familius sources, 11% from ours, and the rest from the Emerald Worlds. I'd recommend a very thorough look at the Boros Consortium shipping agents, especially the one upstream of where the attack occurred. They don't usually wait long to strike after they've coerced someone into loading. Patience is not their strong point. You might also want to check your official military inventories in both the Emerald Worlds and the Guernsey Republic. They've attempted to gain converts within the military. Their emphasis on male supremacy and personal honor does find welcome in some cultures, and you're a multicultural entity.
A chill fell on the room. Baron recognized both fear and denial in the silence, as if they did not already have concerns about loyalty after Lupescu and Garavay.